Hard Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And it is Monday night, Tuesday evening, however you want to look at it, however you view it from your perspective in your part of the world. The 12th into the 13th of December, 2011. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. We are going to get into our usual big round of news that we always have in store. And pardon me as I adjust audio things here. Generally, we always have to readjust stuff. Yeah, that sounded better. But yeah, we always have it's always a big news day on Monday. So we're definitely going to be getting into all the stuff we have to get into that's in the news pile tonight. Got a few emails. Love to have emails from you during the show. Any time, if you're listening to this on an archive, you know, live listeners are a small part of, really a small part of, you know, because I start the show so late, early, however you want to look at it. So we have a lot more archive listeners and YouTube video listeners, but love to get emails from you guys at all times. So definitely be sure and shoot over emails to me. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Give me a second here. It's just wonky still. So, yeah, see. What is doing that? Huh. Weird stuff. Yeah, that happens sometimes. Stuff gets moved around in the studio. You come back, you're using it, you're like, oh, this is not the same thing it was doing last time. I don't like this. This is wonky. So it goes with, and especially now since, and my, you know, every time, and it does this periodically. Give me just a second here. And it does this to us from time to time, but every time it does this to us here on the show, it's always during that goddamn Mercury retrograde. It just tears you right up. God, give me a second here. I don't know what's changed here. I hadn't adjusted anything. I hadn't messed with any of this. But something just does not sound right. That's starting to sound a little bit better. All right, we'll go with that. Sorry about that. I hate to have to beta test my audio for you here on the broadcast, but that's that seems to be a little bit better. Turn it more on that end, see what happens. Yeah, there we go. But like I said, we've got our normal amount of news and information for you here tonight. Probably got a few emails as well. We'll continue reading from the Kabbalion tonight as well, if we have time. I got to figure out what page we're on. I'll have to go. I think we're starting on chapter 4. I think we were just at the end of... No, I think that may have been where we started last time. I think we're at the end of page 18. I think we were starting at chapter 5, the mental universe. I could be wrong about that, but maybe we'll call an audible and see what the people in the chat room have to say about that. Yeah, this is just weird. But yeah, every time there's a Mercury retrograde, which I think ends this week, we always have technology problems. And that's just one of the causes of it. But I don't know if you guys experience the same way I do, but I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if it sounds okay to you guys. Maybe it just sounds weird to me. Yeah. Page 19. Okay. Page 19. All right. Well, thank you for that, John. I'll definitely pick up there where we left off tonight on the show. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And, man, this is just sounding distorted to me. It's driving me crazy. Cannot figure out the source of why that sounds so distorted. That's a little better. Turn it up a bit here. Turn it down a bit there. Turn it up more over here, and it gets more distortion. I don't know. It's just hard to tell with this stuff sometimes. It's running through, like, you know, so many different things. It's a wonder it works at all sometimes. There we go. That sounded a bit better for me. I don't know if it sounded any better for you guys, but we'll go with it for now. Man, oh man, oh man. Yeah, there's lots of crazy stuff to talk about. Again, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 2, is available for purchase right now. You can go to my website, theglobalreality.com, underneath the documentary tab there. And there's a, under The Secret Right, Volume 2, you click that. Then the first thing you'll see is a pay-per-view player that you can pay $5 to watch the whole movie if you want to. Or you can wait and watch it once you get it on disc at your house. And you just scroll down underneath where that player is, and then you'll find a little menu there with all the different options for Blu-ray and DVD and research packs and different stuff that we're offering for that. So definitely go there and support us and get a copy if you can, so we can get this out to the masses. I had people who have sent me emails saying that they have plans to purchase multiple copies so they can hand those out to friends and give them out for gifts. That's a great idea. I tried to create some packages like that so you guys would be able to do that and hand those out for gifts. And I'm glad that we actually have something now, a product now that I can offer that's worthy of doing that with. You know what I mean? It just both in terms of the quality of the production and also in terms of the information, because I think that I really packed a lot of information in a small amount of time. It's almost a 3-hour film, 2 hours, 48 minutes. So, I tried to go back and add some different stuff in there, and it just seemed to make the film drag on, everything I'd add. So I really kind of got it cut down to what I felt was the, you know, because I don't know, Lee Rogers told me he's making his phony Patriots movie. It's going to be about a lot of the CMP stuff and a lot of the same info I've covered, except he's just going to take it and, like, basically go crazy with it and show you all the finer nuances and all kinds of just, you know, basically all the stuff that I tell you go find on your own. He's going to, like, you know, not all of it, but impossible to do all of it. But he told me it's going to be like 6 hours long or something like that. Maybe he said 4 or 5. I swear, God, it could be. Hopefully I'm not saying something wrong. I swear he told me it was going to be like 6 hours long. I don't know. It's crazy. But at the same time, I mean, now I've got Secret Act, what, Volume 1 was, what, 2 hours, 20 minutes, something like that? So, I mean, I've got two films now, one film that's two parts, Volume 1, Volume 2. And, you know, we're looking at damn near, well, right at about 5 hours. So basically, he's going to be making what I did over the course of, you know, 4 years. He's going to be doing over the course. He's been working on this for a while now. So he's probably going to be doing that over the course of, you know, a couple of years and putting it all out as a 2-disc set, which is basically the same thing I did. He just did it a little differently, but it takes longer to do it that way. But then once you do that, you're done with it, you know, kind of like what he did with the Power of the Purse film that he put out. Yeah, I, you know, people have asked me, are you going to make a Volume 3? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I may. We'll just have to see If there's a demand for it, I will. If a lot of people say they want me to make one, I will. But it's going to be after I make the next film I make, which is going to be the Rock Wall film. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so much that it's impossible for any one person to get it in there. And I tried to do more with this film. I tried to show to basically have a premise that encompassed the entire movie. And that, and again, that wasn't something I was premeditated about, really. It's something that, hold on one second. But no, that was, there we go. Now this after I replaced this, John Doe in the chat room is going to tell you, because we were talking about the tubes and stuff last time. You know, even after I've replaced this tube in this preamp, it's still being weird. That's the source of where this is coming from. Because it's like it's like it'll sit there for a minute. It's like a computer. It's like you got to reboot it. It's odd. It's the damnedest thing because it obviously doesn't have a chip in it. There's nothing to this thing. It's a preamp, you know. It's got a, you know, there's no logic board or anything in this thing. It's a power amp and a tube and some ins and outs. That's it. But it's strange. You turn it off and you unplug it. That's what I do there. When I say, give me a second, just unplug it and plug it back in. And when I do that, it starts sounding good again. It'll be good for a while, and then I'll have to unplug it and plug it back in again, and it's good to go. I guess I just have to get used to that, because now it sounds great. But anyway, I wasn't really premeditated about the fact that the film had one sort of theme that was directing it. It took that as on the course of me doing the research on it. And that's what I kept finding out. I kept seeing over and over again that, my God, you know, we've had these Chicken Littles in these parrots of, and we have people like Alex Jones, but not only that, we've had parrots of him. And we've had these people running around. I've talked about this before, throwing these terms around, you know, loosely all the time. And then they lose their meaning after a while. And people, they don't really know what context they belong in anymore, because they become a part of this nomenclature of things. And Alex Jones just repeats over and over again, whether or not they fit the context or not. False flag and psyops and all this stuff. And I started realizing, because you hear people throw those terms around all the time, so sometimes it's legit and sometimes it's not. Oh, fuck that movie. That movie's a psyop. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. You know, sometimes movies are very blatantly psychological operations, and there's plenty of evidence to back that up from the content of the movie itself. Other times, there's things where people are reaching and people are trying to make something seem that it's that way. And yes, maybe if you look at it in the right line, at the right angle, at the right degree and latitude on the northern continent at a certain time during the spring equinox, you'll see it that way. But, you know, most of the time, it's stuff where, you know, there's just no way to do it. But anyway, I lost my train of thought there. I hate when that happens. I got train got derailed. I hate when that happens. I was talking about the terminology. Yeah, psyops. Well, you hear that term applied to things, and it applies to movies, and people apply it to this, that, and the other. Sometimes it's a psychological operation, sometimes it isn't. But that's what kept popping up with everything I was finding. And then when I found the connections to, Michael Aquino and his deep connections to these people we've already exposed, with Iran-Contra and that stuff, I didn't come out and say this in the movie, but I got to tell you, folks, it would not surprise me in the very least. And like I said, I don't say this in the movie, and though for those of you who haven't seen the movie yet, I'm not spoiling anything for you, but I didn't come around and say this in the movie, but it's my personal opinion, so I'll tell you my personal opinion on my radio show. That's what this is for, right? I there's a part of me that thinks that Alex Jones may actually be one of these mind-controlled psychological operators in the same vein as Johnny Gosch, Jeff Gannon. I mean, it fits the mold perfectly, man, and the connections that I found that he's been connected to in that book that he was on. There's a book, and I didn't get this in the film either, because it just would have become, I had to, you know, I almost, look, there's almost an hour. I think there's like 45 minutes, folks, in the film of just Alex Jones horse shit alone. you know, my detailed analysis of him and the stuff that I found on his connections, and then, you know, clips of him show, you know, displaying his psychological operation tactics for you. And there's a great collection I put together from YouTube clips in there. There was that picture that surfaced of Alex Jones in drag and a couple of years ago, and where that came from, I said it come from a web banner that Mark Dice, AKA at that time he was going by the name of John Connor, and he was doing a radio show on GCN, and he had put out this banner thing with this picture of what appeared to be Alex Jones in drag. And somebody asked him about it, took a screenshot of it, and he was saying, oh, well, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and took it down and tried to, you know, basically cover up that it ever existed. Well, people had gotten screenshots of it, and a lot of people have found out about it. Now, what's interesting is I went and actually, this is probably going to be in some, like, you know, compendium editions or 2.5 type stuff at some point. I don't know. But one thing I found interesting is that I discovered the origins of this picture. And the origins of this picture, they originate in a book called Welcome to Jesus Land. Welcome to Jesus Land. That's the name of the book. And I was trying to track down the guys who wrote this book. And what's interesting is all these guys' connections trace back to, like, to these really shady CIA front companies and things that appear to be front companies and not real entities. These guys aren't their real names that they put on the cover of this book. I found several connections to the religious right. Apparently these guys would go out like they were some right-wing preacher evangelist and go to, like, atheist rallies and act like they were putting on their evangelistic, but it was all just a joke and a show. But on the cover of that book, I mean, there's this really striking image of this, well, it appears to be a man in drag, absolutely, but there's just a striking similarity. Alex Jones just got me thinking, you know, the mind war, the term mind war and the term info wars itself came from Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino and Paul Villalle. Paul Villalle is the senior military analyst at Fox News. He's a birther. He's one of these guys who's, in leagues with Jerome Corsi. This guy was the head of the psychological operations units for the Army, ladies and gentlemen, in the 1970s. I'm sorry, but the fact that Alex Jones or Glenn Beck or any of these other guys has not pointed out that this person who both of these guys, Glenn Beck and Alex Jones, both do radio shows on the same network with Fox, the fact they've never pointed out this guy who believes that Barack Obama, now, you know, I've always believed that that whole issue was a red herring. They know damn well this guy, where this guy was born and where he was. And the fact of the matter is, they're using this as a divide and conquer scheme, and it's a psychological operation. And the fact that Glenn Beck or Alex Jones have never pointed out, either one of these swine have never pointed out that Paul Villalle was the head of psychological operations, ladies and gentlemen. He authored the Mind War documents with Michael Aquino in the 1980s. And the Mind War documents, if you go and read them, go Google Michael Aquino, Mind War. You have to do this. I don't give a fuck how busy you are or anything else. I want each and every one of you, if you haven't done it already, to go Google Michael Aquino, Mind War, and read these fucking documents for yourself. And when you read them, if you can honestly come back to me and tell me that that's not the blueprint for Alex Jones, it sounds like they're describing him to a T. I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt, folks, that's what I show in Secret Right Volume 2. The Patriot Movement, the Truth Movement, the Constitution Party, all of this shit, doesn't matter what it is, all of these right-wing groups are all a part of massive psychological warfare campaigns that have been ongoing for a very long time. They're designed to continue the ideologies of white national socialists who want to continue in the United States and beyond what Hitler started in Nazi Germany, and that's a fact. The Patriot Movement itself is a big front in a disguise for white nationalist activities. That was a big thing, and I'd seen that firsthand because I had a boss who was, and this is before I had a radio show or done films or anything. This was like 2004, 2005. And my boss at the time was, you know, he had told me he was big into white supremacist stuff in Texas and had shipped records all over the 1980s, was the biggest. He said he was the biggest distributor of white nationalist music to Europe in the 1980s, single-handedly. And yeah, I worked at the sandwich shop, and his parents were big, big high up. They were multimillionaires. I think his dad worked for AIG or something. I don't know. They were big time. But I used to get phone calls at the sandwich shop. I was the assistant manager there, and the white supremacist guy was the manager. And I used to get phone calls up there. They get phone calls. Oh yes, we're just calling to remind. I'm not gonna tell you their names, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, that we're wanting to remind them of their dinner party with the Bush family this week. I'm like, oh, my God. But, yeah, this guy used to always have, you know, Alex Jones and Rents.com and stuff back on his computer back in the back office and stuff. And I asked him about it one day. I was like, hey, man, I saw you had Rents up there on Jeff Rents up there on your computer. He's like, oh, you listen to Jeff Rents? I'm like, well, you know, I have, yeah. Blah, 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 whatever. And he started going off telling me about the Turner Diaries, talking about how that was his Bible, and him and his ex-wife used to hand out copies of it everywhere, and he wanted to give me a copy of this. And that's the one thing that I have discovered also in my research and also in my own experience, to be honest with you, something that happened a few months ago, back earlier this year. I had never talked about it on the show. I briefly had referenced it, but I never really brought it up. You know what? I actually should talk about this now that I think about it. but I have to, it's a fact. Look into Willis Carto and the Liberty Lobby. Type Willis Carto, white supremacist, Willis Carto, eugenics, Willis Carto, Roger Pearson. I mean, well, that's the Liberty Lobby. That's the spot runs the spotlight, all that stuff. That's Jim Tucker's outfit, where all the Bilderberg coverage comes from every year. Why aren't they ferreting out CMP meetings? But you know, I had been hesitant to talk about this, and I don't like, especially when I have stuff like this, and I think it's important that people know about it. But I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But you know, now that this movie's done and it's out, and the fact that I had this information and in my mind had mercy by not putting this in the film, I sort of made reference to it without saying any names, but I'm gonna say some names for you right now. It's the first time I've talked about this on air. I've told anybody about this. I've told close personal friends and stuff. And of course Lee Rogers knows about it because it happened on his show, but several months ago, I think this may have been back in, I don't know, February, March, April, May, I don't remember, somewhere in there. And it happened two shows in a row, actually, when I was on with Lee Rogers for 3 hours. It happened on one show. We had a point in the show where we were taking email questions from the audience. Because I told Lee, I said, hey, you know, I do that on my show. It'd be cool to do that with your audience. You know, let's try and see if we get any cool emails and any cool questions in. And we did. It was great. But we kept getting this guy that kept sending in all these emails and all these questions he was asking about white supremacist stuff. And he'd say, what do you think about this, 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 and this? And everything we'd read out, unintentionally plugging a bunch of white supremacist stuff on Lee's show by reading this guy's email. And I was like, I don't like that. You know, he just got us to inadvertently play. And we were like, you know, we couldn't figure out what was going on with it. Well, then the next show we did, Lee starts getting all these personal, we started getting the emails first, but then he starts getting all these personal messages from a certain other radio host who at the time I think was on Oracle, who's not on Oracle anymore, but I can't keep up, so I don't know for sure. I could be mistaken in that. I don't really know what his status is as a radio host anymore. I thought he quit radio altogether, but Lee was like sending me these, you know, these scripts. He's like, look at this. This is what we're getting this from. Look at these Skype messages that I'm getting. And they were from Jack Blood. And it was all that white supremacist. Oh, you know, that fucker Reeves. And he was just bow mouthing me and calling me all these fucking names. That sorry motherfucker. He hating on white supremacist, white nationalist stuff. Hell yeah, I'm white nationalist and I'm proud of it. Blah, 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 all this shit. And, you know, at that moment, it all clicked in my head. You know, I defended Jack Blood. I've defended that guy to the tilt, man. Wanted to believe with every fabric of my body that that guy was the real deal because I've met him, I've hung out with him. I thought he was the real deal. Broke my heart. For real, ladies and gentlemen, broke my heart. To see that and then click in my head and remember all those times when Jack Blood said to me, Josh, you know, leave this CMP thing alone. You shouldn't look at that. You should just focus on 9/11, focus on what got you in on this stuff, into this stuff. You know, you were doing great work in the 9/11 group in Dallas, and I was really supporting you guys, and he was. And he's the reason I won the Alex Jones video contest, because Jack Blood was the only person who put that video that I made, which ended up funding my first movie. That was all thanks to Jack Blood. He was the only guy that put that movie out there and promoted the little trailer thing, the 9/11 truth thing for the Truth Action thing for Alex Jones video contest I won first place in. And so when I started seeing these messages of him, you know, defending white nationalism, I said, you know, that's why you wouldn't ask Howard Phillips about the CMP when you had him on his show, even though I asked you to several times and you wouldn't. That's why you defended Larry Pratt and all these people. And I don't know, he asked Larry Pratt about the CMP or something, and Larry Pratt said he liked Dick Cheney. Well, I heard that. I gave props to him for that. But I just couldn't sit here with this knowledge anymore and not let it out. And I feel so much better putting that out there because I feel like, you know, that was a tough thing for me, man. You know, to for it all to make sense and come back to me and for me to realize that's why he, you know, wouldn't talk about the CMP stuff on the show or wouldn't look into it, you know, or this, that, and the other. Because, you know, it exposes the whole Patriot movement, the truth movement, for what it is. And it's a front for them to gain recruits and gain people on the side of white nationalism. Period. End of story. And if you watch Secret Right Volume 1 and Volume 2, you won't get the whole picture, but you'll get a big piece of why you should be concerned with it. These guys are the eugenicists. These guys are the ones that write the eugenics books, but most of the time, the Truth Movement, the Patriot Movement are going to tell you, oh, it's looking to Tavistock, and oh, it's CFR, and it's Tavistock, and it's, you know, all these other groups except groups like the International Association for the Advancement of Ethnology and Eugenics, based in Edinburgh, Scotland, that Roger Pearson was ahead of. And Roger Pearson was a guy who aided Joseph Mengele in South America. This guy was brought to the United States. He was a founding member of the Heritage Foundation, along with Ron Paul's buddy, Lou Lehrman. This guy was a dyed-in-the-wool, full-blown Nazi supporter and a eugenicist who wrote many books on how blacks are genetically inferior to whites. And guess who brought him to the United States? Willis Carto, head of the Liberty Lobby, Spotlight Magazine, who came out of there. Eustace Mullins, Big Jim Tucker. I mean, it's unbelievable, folks. And that's why there's been such a knee-jerk reaction all this time, since 2007, since, well, people were aware of the group before I started exposing it in 2007. I've never tried to claim I was the first person talking about that, but I was the first person to bring it out on networks that were predominantly Truth and Patriot. I mean, I did a show on RBN for 6 months. You don't get any more Zeke Heil Patriot radio than that, man. And I was on there talking about the CMP and talked about it until they fired me. I was on a 50,000-watt flamethrower that Alex Jones used to be on. He had to pay $20,000 of his hard-earned cash to take me off of. Talking about this stuff till they took me off. So what I mean is that, no, I wasn't the first person to talk about the CMP, the first person to expose it, or the only person. But as far as the person who's done it in the biggest, most out there way, you got to give it to me. And I understand now why there's been such a knee-jerk reaction to that. I understand that because they knew that eventually, if people like myself and others kept digging, they were going to find what I found. And that's that this is a massive psychological operation. You know, and Jack Blood used to work for Fox News, I understand, too. I think I read that on the internet somewhere. That's interesting. I don't know, man. All I know is that, you know, and there's a lot of people out there I know, they're not going to like this broadcast. They're not going to like what I just said. They're going to like what I just talked about. And to those people, I got to say, I'm sorry. The truth is the truth. And I had to talk about it. I had to mention it. And the fact of the matter is, you know, now I know. It should be, and you all should be aware, too. There's a reason why they have tried to ignore this information. You know, I haven't had anybody, nobody yet has contacted me to have me on for an interview for the new film. Nobody's contacting me for a review disc to have me on the show. Nobody yet has. And I don't know what avenues I need to do to promote this thing. I know Alex Jones used to sell advertising space on his websites on Prison Planet. Maybe that's what we should do. Get a pool together and get some money and take a fucking ad out on the Enchilada's website and sell our movie on his website. Wouldn't that be that'd just chap his ass, wouldn't it? Because you know that stuff doesn't go through him. You know, you just go pay some money and they give you your spot. He doesn't fucking know what's going on there. That'd be fucking epic, wouldn't it? Buy The Secret Ride Volume 2. Click here now. PrisonPlanet.com. Oh, my God. That'd be a savage burn right there. Man. But I already am sort of getting the feeling that I got last time, and that's that... They're going to try and do the same thing they did in Volume 1. They're going to try to ignore it, try to act like it doesn't exist, like it's not even there. I let that occur the last time around. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, if you want to act like it doesn't exist, if you want to act like it's not there, fine. That's okay. I'm okay with it. But not this time. No, I'm going to mail DVDs to every single fucking... news outlet, and that's why you got to support our work. That's why you got to donate to us, because that stuff like that costs money. But I got to send out. I'm going to send copies out to all the. I mean, everything I can find, man. All the news agencies, magazines. I'm going to send it out everywhere, because you know if these lying sacks of shit lefty liberals in the media that are working for the same corporate slave whore masters as any of the right wingers are. You know, if they were real and legitimate, they'd jump all over these movies. My God, a chance to, you know, further expose the right wing. I mean, how could they resist that, right? That should be, I mean, see, right, Volume 2, shit, that for these left wingers. I mean, that should just be an all-you-can-eat buffet, man. All-you-can-eat right-wing expose. But will they touch it? No, they won't touch it. Because they don't want the truth. Because if you expose one, you expose the other. That's the truth. When you expose one, you expose the other. So both of these people, whether the phony left, phony right, doesn't matter. They all have a vested interest in not allowing too much. You know, they want to slander each other. And they want to, you know, have the political, public WWF wrestling match in public. But, you know, hey, well we're going to keep the gloves on, you know. Yeah, we're not gonna bare knuckle this. I mean, you know, hey, well, I'll call him a motherfucker, but I'll tell him he fucks his mother's dead skull every night. But I'm not gonna cross the line and you know expose the whole thing. No way. So, I'm just gonna go all out and try to get this thing to as many people, get as much attention on it as I can. If people look at it and to understand what we have on our hands here. We live in one gigantic ongoing psychological operation. The question is, which one are you going to get caught up in? Because they got so many ready and waiting for you to fall into. So they got you somewhere. So they got you in a box somewhere so that you can't be, you know, coming up with your own plans on your own, unfettered, that may challenge their power supremacy. But it's, I tell you what, man, that's a sick subtle little joke there by Alex Jones calling his whole operation InfoWars, information warfare. And that coming from the Michael Aquino Mind War documentation. I tell you what, it's a sick little joke because it's true. And that's what it is. And it literally talks about psychological warfare and information warfare must be directed at the population of the United States. It says that. You're talking about the senior military analyst at Fox News, who's a co-employee with people like Glenn Beck and Alex Jones over there at Fox. And right there, it's talking about, you know, uniting the people behind a common enemy. Uniting people against an enemy so and convincing these throws that they can win if only they unite together to fight this enemy, whatever the enemy may be. Communism, terrorism, Al-Qaeda, the New World Order, the banksters, the elite, the powers that be, whatever term they apply. But it's always that, you know, here's this enemy. It's faceless. It's nameless. Well, who are these people? Who is this elite? Who are we up? Who are we uniting against? No, don't ask that question. Here's what they're doing. They're setting up global government. They're setting up an enslavement system. They're trying to spark World War III, and they're trying to kill everybody. Boom, here it is. This is them. They're the elite. This is who they are. They're the banksters. You know, they run the oil companies. Yeah, these guys here. Yeah, go get them. Rawr, kill. I mean, openly talks about that in those documents. And it's, I mean, this stuff's all real, folks. I have realized how real it is since I've made these films and made this newest film. It's mind blowing. It saddens me too, because I had so much hope in so many people out there. I had so much hope in so many of the people that I thought were heroes, people I looked up to, people that made me want to get into this. And now every single one of those people that were the reason I ever got involved in this, I've had to be in a unique position of being one of the sole voices and showing what those people really represent. And it saddens me. Because the people, the detractors and the haters and the people who want to try and downplay this information, they'll just call it everything except for what it is. And look, man, I didn't want this information. I wish it wasn't true, but unfortunately it is. And not wanting it to be true is not going to make it go away. It's not going to make it any less true. It just means that, surprise, surprise, as such is life, our job in exposing the real perpetrators behind this evil power institution that's been inducing its reign upon humanity for centuries now, it just made our job a little harder yet again. But are you going to quit? Because there's plenty of those out there, plenty of quitters out there, plenty of people that are just going to go along and do go along every day with the system just to go along to get along, because they're afraid to step out of the normalcy, afraid of what people will think, afraid that they won't live or survive if they're not on the teat of the system. And it's just a lie. It's just an illusion. It's not real. It's not any more real than any other fear you've ever had in your life, that monsters were under your bed, or or anything else, any other irrational fear you've ever had. It just seems more real because it seems like there's a lot more at stake once you get older and you have money and you have possessions and all these things that are designed to keep you in that mental prison, thinking that if you aren't, you know, sucking on the teat of the establishment and the system, that you won't be able to survive and be able to keep all of your nice, shiny possessions and all this stuff. Now, some listener sent me an email and said, I think her name was Monica. So thank you, Monica. I'm not making fun of you or your email or anything else. Don't take this the wrong way or anything. But I got an email from a listener who said, hey, Josh, if Federal Reserve notes were no object, what do you want for Christmas? And I just was like, you know, all the things going on in the world, and that's what somebody has to ask me. I'm not making fun of you, or thank you. I appreciate that. The only thing material that I like, that I have, that I own, that I want to own and want to have more of is tools that will allow me to do the work that I do, be that music with the demigods, or be that with cameras and computers and this kind of stuff, or making films and doing the radio show and all that. That's it, man. But money was no object. What would I want? I don't know. A kick-ass drum set, a new drum set, you know, a real top-of-the-line pro, you know, and the big John Bonham size like I got now, except the big rock maple, you know, something like that. I mean, that's a tool, though, you know. But those are the only things that I desire and I want. I don't even own a cell phone, for God's sakes. I refuse to own one. Won't own one. You know, and that's the whole thing is that, you know, when you realize that that possessions that you have to do your work, and it, you know, not it, you know, burdening yourself with all this other extraneous junk, you start to notice that you just seem to like actually do what you say you're going to do. It just seems to just get done. It's amazing. I mean, I always knew that like what was holding me back from being able to do my films in the way that I saw in my head was not having, you know, a good computer or you know, a Mac or something like that. And once I got the Mac, it was like instantaneously my creativity was actually finally being able to come out. And I didn't think it would be that pronounced. I knew that was the problem all along. But once I got hands-on and started doing it, I was like, man, this is just amazing. And so that's, you know, those are the things as far as material things I put value on. You know, everything else, and I'm not into cars. I'm not into motorcycles. I'm not into bling. I'm not into houses. I'm not into big booty bitches with, you know, goblets of 40 ounce, you know, putting 40 ounces in goblets hanging out at my house. I just want to do my part in whatever little way I can to change things and hopefully get people to not fall into these rabbit trails and these traps that are set for them everywhere, and to hopefully pull people yet again out of that mind-controlled matrix that they have trapped for us. I mean, I just want to do my part in whatever way I can. That's it. That's what I want for Christmas. So, you know, anything that I can get, you know, I'd love to. You know what I'd love to have? I've looked at them. They're about $1,000 for like a one that I think it does four discs at a time. I was looking at these. They're like a grand, I think, something like that. But they have these Blu-ray duplicators now on eBay. I was looking at. And you put one disc in, it'll do like four at like 8x speed, which is pretty good. And you can do like, you know, four DVDs, four Blu-rays. And I was looking at the price of, because I was thinking about, you know, maybe being able to get one of those and just buying the packaging and the prints or whatever for the artwork and stuff, and buying cases and doing all packaging and stuff and having a duplicator where I could just, you know, crank out discs, you know, constantly. And then that would cut down the overhead extensively, and I wouldn't have to, order stuff from disc makers and all that anymore. Because, I mean, really, for what you get, it would be the same as just me doing it that way at home. You know, you buy this machine one time, one shot, $1,000 or whatever, and then, hey, you know, that'll do your DVDs and your Blu-rays. And, you know, media and discs and stuff like that, they're cheap. So, you know, that's, I guess if money was no object, yeah. You know, it's always stuff like that. You know, but my point is, and why I brought that email up, and thank you, Monica, for sending that email. I appreciate that. I like when people kind of send me off kilter. Hey, you know, I know people always want to talk about this and that, but I just want to ask you, you know, well, thank you for that. But, you know, I think that that's the whole thing is that once you're able to determine in your life that, you know, those things that are tools and those things that are just, you know, for show, and you're able to determine which one of those you want more and for why, you know, it's very liberating because then they can't get you anymore. You know, they can't get you with the crap on TV. And it's amazing when you don't have TV. We don't have TV in our house here, but we watch, you know, movies and we download TV shows sometimes and watch episodes of certain ones, things like that, you know. But I find after you've been away from TV for such a long time, when you see one, when I see a TV now and it's on, it's like a novelty to me. I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. It's so quaint. It's television. Wow, look. What are they going to try and pimp me with now? What are they going to try to sell me? How are they going to try to get me to think, man, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch these commercials and just be bombarded with symbology and be bombarded with ideologies they want me to have and take on. Can't wait to have my subconscious bombarded with Masonic symbology. You know, cannot wait to feel inadequate because I don't have a pretty girl like everybody else does. And that's all, I mean, and sure enough, there it is. All that, you know, here comes the commercials and all those things I just described, they're all in there. You know, in the span of 10 minutes of commercials or whatever. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's such, I mean, you know, you look at it and you're just like, my God, there are people, a scary amount of people. And when I say scary amount, I mean more than 50%. And when I say more than 50%, I mean way more than 50%. But there are a goddamn disturbing amount of people out there, folks, who believe that everything that comes out of that television is real and the truth. And I don't know what scares me more, the people who sit in the ivory towers sending people off to die in wars for them, or I don't know which scares me more. Man, oh man, oh man. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Well, speaking of crazy stuff, we got some news to get into here tonight. So we'll be getting into that. Oh, I want to mention Scott had an email that he had sent to me. We talked about one last week about stuff about sponsors, possibly doing sponsors. He says, ask for advice for people for advertising. Ask Oracle, Doug Owen, Mike Chambers, Lee Rogers. Ask for listeners' advice for leads. I'll tell you this. I know what their model is because I was around, you know, I was one of the founders of that network. So I'm fully aware. And I'm also fully aware on all the stuff on how to get sponsors and how to do that. My sister was getting sponsors for TrueNet Radio even before I had a show on there. She knows how to do all that. I have a lot of experience with all these. Basically, what they do is they go and look at who all the GCN sponsors, and they contact them and offer them a lower price, a substantially lower price than what GCN's giving them. That's their whole advertising model. I'm not shitting you. I shit you not. That's their. They even did a thing a few months after we started Oracle, where they put out a banner that said, the first 3 months, if you are a GCN advertiser, it was a banner on the front of Oracle Broadcasting's website that said, if you're a current GCN sponsor, we'll give you 3 months free advertising to advertise with us. And then, you know, we'll give it to you for, you know, whatever price after that, a month, and they got a few of them. But that's their whole thing. And, you know, look, as I've exposed in my movie, a lot of those companies and stuff like that, man, I've talked to some of these companies, and they're not real companies, folks. They're front companies. You can't ever get a hold of anybody. They don't know dick about the product. I mean, a lot of these are real front company type organizations. HempUSA.org, you know, I've dealt with that guy at the HempUSA.org, and he lied to me. He begged and pleaded to come on my show and talk about it on the show, and I'd had him on a bunch of times. I didn't want to have him on again. He promised me to send me $100 worth of free stuff if I had him on. I brought him on the show, had him on for an hour, and then he never sent me the stuff that we agreed upon, never sent me anything. He used to start sending Bibles out in his orders. His product's fantastic. I love his product. It's fantastic hemp. But I've already been there and done that with that guy, man. So all these things you're talking about, Scott, with this is the GCN model. The problem is that there as of yet, there isn't anybody out there who has any experience trying to get sponsorship for companies that aren't already sponsoring stuff in, Patriot Radio, Truth Radio, that kind of thing. But that's the whole reason why I started this network, is so that I wouldn't have to go that route. And so for me to go back to some Oracle GCN model and having the same sponsors they do and running dick pill ads and running, you know what? I haven't got to that level yet. And thank the almighty creator above for my listening audience. I hadn't had to go that route yet. But that's the whole reason why I started. So for me to go that route and start, you know, having Hemp USA commercials, you know, oh my God, could you imagine that? HempUSA.com with the guitar commercial, you know, where he's playing and singing it. My God, I used to almost have to fucking tear my eyeballs out with an ice pick. I had to hear that song so many goddamn times doing radio on every network I was on. Oh my God, can you imagine that? Having to sit through HempUSA commercials on the Global Reality Show. I'd tear my own fucking eyeballs out before I'd do that. No way in hell, man. I'll panhandle. I'll sell my plasma, whatever else. I don't think our listeners are gonna let it go that way. I just don't. Yeah, we scrape by most months. Yeah, I'm sitting on close to zero right now because we just had to pay bills and buy DVDs and Blu-rays. But you know what? The audience always, somehow, some way, we always make it. And I have faith in that, and I'm going to continue to have faith in that. And what I'm not going to do is sell myself out to the same old whorish fucking commercials and dick pills and, folks, we got a good deal on water filters today, and Berkey filters, and we're going to have the soap guy come up for you today, and we're going to talk about soap for a half hour. Then I'm going to rant about the New World Order for another 45 minutes. And after I get back from ranting from the about the New World Order for 45 minutes, we're going to have Paul Craig Roberts on the show. And after that, we're going to have the soap guy back on. He's going to come up again and talk about that good soap that's made out of Ashkenazi baby fingernails. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's the only stuff I use at my house. My wife, she insists on rubbing it on her big Jew titties. It's wonderful stuff. And it's made from the toenails of Ashkenazi babies. And you'll love it. And Ted's got a good deal on G-Gold for you today as well. I mean...
Fuck Satan's cock, Alex Jones. Get that big skilly worm pepper down your gullet, Alex. You know you love it. I was in your bedroom last night giving you the big black Satan dick, motherfucker. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not going to go to the suck Satan's cock. Selling dick pills and Jew gold. I just won't do it. I'm not going to go around whoring asking, you know, cold calling people, do you want to be a sponsor of my network? My thing about it is people know I'm here. If you've got a product out there that you want to pay me money to advertise here on the show and you want to send me samples of that product to try and you want to send me free stuff and you want to send me cash to talk about it, promote it, put banner ads up and run commercials and you got something I'm behind, hey, hit me up. But I'm not going to, you know, that I just laugh my ass off. And I know that Scott doesn't know the particulars that I'm talking about here. So it's not his fault. But I just, when I saw that said, you know, ask for advice from advertising from Oracle and Dugan, I'm just going, oh God, really? No way. I know what that model is. I was there when they built it. And their model, literally, I don't care what anybody over there says, their model is to go to whatever radio station, whether it's, most of the time it's GCN, but they'll go to other ones. And they go and hit up all their sponsors. And they it's, you know, what do they call that? They call that shit, there's a term for that, right? Is it called lowballing? Is that what it is? I guess that's what it's called. Yeah, they go and lowball the competitors. You're paying how much a month for GCN? You're paying $2,000 a month to advertise on GCN? We're Oracle. We'll do it for $200. How about that? And they go, well, fuck yeah, let's go. And, you know, I'm not going to do, you know, I just, it just, to me, it maybe just in my head, the first thing I saw was, hey, this is Josh Reeves over here. Hey, spill on Oracle. How much is Oracle charging you right now? Well, I'll do it for half that. Yep. Come on. And then next thing you know, I got, you know, Dick Pills and Jew Golden. What was it? Oh man, I tuned in a couple of weeks ago to hear Lee Rogers. My God, I almost shat myself. There were some commercial on there where they were pimping, coins from the Byzantine Empire. Really? You guys are hawking old Roman coins on the fucking network to get by now? Really, it's come to that? Because I bet if you provided quality shows and quality information and talked about topics that people want to actually really want to hear about, not just regurgitating the same old goddamn patriot horse shit, going, oh, let's read the Constitution again. You know, people would support you and you donate money to your network, and you wouldn't have to run those ads. But that's to me, it just shows a lack of faith in your audience. And maybe I have too much faith in my audience, but you know what? It just always seems to be okay. Things seem to work out okay, and they have. And thanks to our listeners, thanks to the people who support me out there and donate every month and keep this thing going. But you have to, you know, that's a microcosm for a lot of the problems of people in the world. People are just too afraid to let go of that security blanket, you know, and just let go. I mean, that's what I did when I worked my ass off in a pizza shop for over 4 years so I could get to the point where I am now. And that's why I did that. And, you know, yeah, I let go from that to dedicate myself to doing this. And a lot of people are not willing to do that. And that's why the system stays in place. And that's why people can continue to get up on these radio shows and bitch and piss and moan and talk about this stuff till the cows come home, and it's not going to change anything. Because you still got that dependence upon them and that faith, that phony faith that the powers that be know better than you. Well, they don't know better than you. They know better than some people. There are, I'll give you that. There are some goddamn retarded people out there. No question about it. And people are getting stupider every day. Let's just be real about that. But I still have, I don't know why, but I still have faith in the human race. I still have faith in humanity. But goddamn, there are some days where I'll go around saying it. I'll be like, sign me up for the Rothschild Rockefeller eugenics button. Show me where the eugenics button is. I'll push it right now. I mean, yeah, people are that fucking retarded. But there has to be at some point some real resistance to these people. And I don't mean phony controlled resistance that we've had throughout time immemorial up until now. By the way, all these have always been started from the top down from the Jesuit order. It's a fact. Look into the guy who they've got a statue of, St. John of Nepomuk. Look into that guy. They have a statue of him in the Bohemian Grove. But this is what they've always been about. And until we actually have a multitude of people who are aware how deep this control system really goes, we're never going to get anywhere. But you better believe that the Patriot Movement, the Truth Movement, the 9/11 Truth Movement, all of these things have been a front to continue the aims of the white nationalists, the people who believe the white race has a divine right to rule. You know, somebody the other day called me pro-multicultural, anti-white. Because of what I say. So I'm okay. I'm not anti-white because, well, I am white. I have friends and family that are white, but I have friends that are all colors and races and sexual orientations and whatever have you. I mean, I'm anti-white because I don't want I'm not for white supremacy. That automatically makes me anti-white. I don't understand that logic. I hate the white race because I won't stand for their attempted supremacy. Excuse me, I didn't get the memo that life was a race war. But that's what a lot of people believe. They believe that life is a race war. And that's the reality, and that's it, and that's the only reality there is. And that we're supposed to be fighting and killing each other over... I mean, this stuff is coming from these, as Bramley called them, the custodians. These ideologies come from the top down. They don't come from the bottom up. The media and culture tells us that, you know, resistance or revolution or the ideas of enslavement or you know, slavery or any of this stuff, they make us believe that this stuff comes from the bottom down, that people think this stuff up, and it rises up to the top and then takes over, you know, ideas like communism or any other idea, whatever it may be. They have us believe that these start down at the ground level and then spring up like plants and go towards the sun and blossom out, and then pretty soon they cover a whole wide area. That's not how it is. That's not the reality. The reality is that all these things start from the top and they go from the top down. And then we take on those ideologies and then we fight with each other over them. And we're fighting with each other over ideologies and things that we think are our own ideas, and they're not. None of the stuff that I've ever believed and none of the stuff that you've ever believed, ladies and gentlemen, ever, have been our own thoughts. We have been believing and following ideologies and fighting each other over ideologies and going to war over these ideologies and killing each other and everything else. And yet all of these ideologies, no matter how much of an individual we think we are, no matter how much of a grasp we have all been following and believing belief systems that were planted there for us to find and follow. Our whole reality is a lie. The things that got me to the point where I'm here doing a radio show making films for you, the things that got me here were a lie. I was seeking the truth. I wasn't seeking to find another controlled paradigm, and that's what it was. And that's what it is, and that's what it's become my job to expose. And I never wanted that job. I didn't sign up for that. I thought I was going to be liked when I got into this. I thought people were going to like me because I was going to be bringing out information that was going to be interesting to them, and that, you know, hey, maybe there's some like-minded people out there. Maybe people are going to be like me. But I didn't think I'd be hated and vilified and called every goddamn, you know, ridiculous thing under the sun for merely exposing, in a lot of cases, things that are already out there and there. It's fucking insane. It's insane, folks. It's pure insanity. I get, you know, I'm to the point where I'm just, I hate even reading news anymore. And I've talked about this before, and it's becoming harder and harder for me every day. Because all of this news is so fucking, it's just bullshit, man. And when you look at news and you listen to news being read or anything else, you, me, anybody, you are actively participating. You're basically saying, okay, you know, I'm aware this is a psychological operation, and I'm going to, you know, indulge them and indulge myself, and I'm going to participate in their psyop by reading this news article. Because it's all designed to get a reaction and get an emotional reaction out of you. And I think they have a way to draw energy from this. I don't know how to prove that, but I think there's some way they draw from the ethereal energy of fear and anger. I think they draw energy from this. They're energetic vampires, folks. That's why they want us to think doom and gloom and wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff are always around the corner, and FEMA camps are being set up right now for you and your family, and Darth Vader ski mask could kick down your door at any time at 3 a.m. They are feeding off of this somehow. And I don't know the particulars. I don't know exactly how, but I know it in my soul, folks, that they are feeding off this energy. And the more desperate they make it, and the lower and more denser and slower that people's energy vibrations get from being down about this stuff, the more they draw from it, and the more their dark power overcomes us. You know, fuck the Occupy Wall Street thing. We need to have worldwide No Illusion Day, where everybody takes one day across the world and doesn't participate in the illusion at all. Nothing. No driving in the car, no TV, no talk, you know, nothing. Just nothing that participates in the illusion whatsoever. Because if people could see for just for a moment that this is not the only reality, they would certainly start to have doubts about those people who constantly want to maintain control of that reality. Because if they're not in control of reality, of your reality, you're going to be in control of your reality. And let me tell you something. You can't be a slave master if you have slaves that are deciding for themselves what their destiny is. And this is all about keeping us slaves. And you know, I always used to have people tell me, oh, you know, don't worry about the groups and don't worry about who's behind this, you know. I used to have people tell me, Mike Chambers used to say that all the time. Well, don't worry about who's behind it. You know it exists and you know what's there, so just worry about trying to do what you can to find it. You know, I think that's a false. I believed it for the longest time, and I believe it even more strongly now. That is a false ideology. We don't know who all these people are yet. We have a good idea. But you know, a lot of the people that are really powerful, their names are not on the internet. Their names are not in books, folks. Their names are not out there on public record. But these people are out there. And people always want to know what the solution is. And I can always tell them the thing that I've found more than anything. We don't have enough information yet, ladies and gentlemen, about everything that this system entails and what's really going on to make a decision of what we do. But I don't know about you. I feel a lot better about our chances of changing things if we're able to identify who the perpetrators are. If we go on believing red herrings and believing every, you know, honeypot that's laid out for us, oh, it's these people over here, it's these people over here, but then nothing changes. We go, okay, well, we know who they are, but still nothing's going on. Nobody's trying to stop these people. What good is that? That's the whole thing is, folks, is the people that have been claiming to be the exposers of truth are aiding and abetting those very powers. The enemy is in our midst all around us. Oh, man. But yeah, I'm not going to go that route. You know, I'm not going to sell. If somebody out there, I'd love to have some advertising sponsors. I'd love to have some extra cash coming here every month and not have to scrape by and have some, you know, that'd be super. But I'm just, you know, if I just have a feeling if somebody out there has a product or a service they want to advertise here, they're going to contact me. You know, or if somebody else out there wants to contact something and ask them, you know, about it, whatever. I think, but I can't remember what the rates are. If somebody sends me an email, I'll give them the rates I had laid out. But I usually do it on based on, you know, I tell people what I'll give them the info as far as how many hits we get a month and all this stuff, and basically ask them, you know, how much is it worth to you to reach this many people a month with, you know, with your product. You know, this is how many we reach, this is how many listeners, how many website hits we get, blah, blah. You know, what's it worth to you to reach that number of people? That's generally how I let them decide, you know. So if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, yeah, that's what I would do. Give you the, you know, this is how many we reach. This is it. You know, you're reaching this many people per month. And how much is it, you know, let's say, you know, 35,000 people or something, or 50,000 people, individual. I'm talking about individual unique visitors or unique listeners, you know, or whatever. Well, let's say 35,000 a month or 50,000 a month or whatever, you know, how much is it worth to you and your business to reach that many people? I think that's a fair, you know, a fair way to go about it. Yeah, I appreciate the suggestions there, Scott, but I'm, you know, I hope that people will continue to support our work and what we do. We do need some support right now because it's just been really slow and low lately and paying all the stuff we've had to pay. We got a stream bill coming up due Thursday, so definitely support us between now and Thursday so we can get that bill paid for. I'm sitting here looking at this news. By the way, they're about to admit they're saying they have found the God particle. God particle found, Atom Smasher reveals Higgs boson, the key to the universe. No full discovery, but observations expected, say scientists with contacts inside CERN. The God particle, hailed as the holy grail of physics, may have been glimpsed for the first time. Excited scientists at the Large Hadron Collider, the world's first biggest atom smasher, are expected to announce today that they have spotted the Higgs boson particle. While they will not claim definitive proof, they are tipped to reveal tantalizing evidence about the particle's existence. And it's coming right at the beginning of 2012. You know, I still think the whole purpose of this thing is to do exactly how, as the director of CERN had stated, it's in my Reality of Illusion series, Reality of Illusion Part 2, the Norway Spiral, Sumerian Stargate film that's up on YouTube. Go and watch that. I've got a clip from the director of CERN in there where he says, you know, when you put together a project like CERN, you have things you know are going to happen 100% because that's the nature of why you're doing it. You have other things that happen that you don't expect. And he said the one thing that happened that they didn't expect was that they had opened up a wormhole and had the ability to be able to put things into that wormhole and to take something out of it. So absolutely, yeah, I still think that CERN definitely is some kind of portal. It's some kind of Stargate. The real scary question is, who's going through it and who's coming through from the other side? You know, are they going to open this thing up and all the elite are going to haul ass out of here in some other dimension through the portal, and they're going to, you know, open it up and let some fucking evil alien monsters come through and eat all our brains? I don't know. But make no mistake, this is going to tie in with whatever the big psyops that are going to be rolling out over the next year are. And ladies and gentlemen, you better put your fucking helmets on. That's all I've got to say. It's going to get scary over the next year. And not because of things that are truly going to be happening, but because of things that they're going to be, illusions they're going to be creating, and panics and scares and everything else. It's just going to be psyop after psyop. It's going to be very important, ladies and gentlemen, over the next year that you make every decision that you make and every thought that you have, you make sure, damn sure, you have enough evidence to back that up before you act and do anything. I implore you. If you don't listen to me about anything else, you damn well better listen to me about that, folks. Don't do anything unless you have enough evidence to back it up, because they are going to try and get us to jump and run. And I think they draw energy from this. I think that's part of the whole big thing. Russian protester distracted during Moscow demo against Putin by UFO flying over Kremlin. Bizarre footage has emerged of an apparent unidentified flying object and caught the sighting of the flying object in the sky. Amateur footage from a Russian capital this weekend, which drew bemused looks from onlookers who were meant to be protesting. As with the most apparent alien craft sightings, the quality of the footage in the picture is poor, and the shape or size of the object is difficult to work out. It's a fucking drone, man. Christ. 2 seconds of looking at that UFO. See, this is how they... That's another way they cause cognitive dissonance. Is they keep people so dumbed down and so stupid and ignorant of the advanced technology that they have, both in secret and in everyday use. They got drones. Me and my buddy saw a drone last week. One of those bird drone things. It looks like a fucking bird, and it's not. Oh, it was hilarious, dude. I know they were taking pictures of me from the ground. I know that's why they were directing it towards me. I was sitting down there flipping them off. Oh, yeah. I see drones. I mean, fuck, dude. They've sent, you know, Blackwater troops dressed as state troopers, you know, to my former residence. I mean, my God. I see these orbs flying around. I'll just stand there and flip them off. Hey, fuck you. Yeah, I see you, motherfucker. Fuck you. Yep, this is where I am. Suck my dick. But literally, my buddy was standing out there the other day, and I said, man, come here, look at this. Some of these bird orbs right there, and he saw it, and he was like, oh, my God, the wings moved not the way they're supposed to move. And I go, yeah, did you see that shit? They had that motherfucker painted like a bald eagle. You know, motherfucking bald eagles around here? There's a picture of it, of one that was downed in Pakistan, and it looked exactly like that, man. And it took off, and it took off and flew like a jet. It was like a plane. But it was flying around, circling around like a bird. No shit, man. Oh, it's great. But that's, I mean, come on. But they get everybody believing these are UFOs, and these are, you know, alien craft, because, you know, that's a lot more you know, they want you to believe that more than they want you to believe that it's a, you know, some guys, a monitoring orb, you know, an unmanned government orb, like, you know, like they had in They Live. Oh, man. See, this news, I'm getting more and more. I'm just getting, I don't know, maybe it's good. Maybe I'm just getting more selective. Because the things I used to cover on the show, it's like, man, why did I ever cover that shit? I thought, you know, I was one of those people, I led myself to believe that, you know, talking about every nuance of Keynesian economics and all that shit was important and whatever else. And, you know, it's really not. All that stuff is there. Those are just, that's symptoms of the disease, man. You know? But stories like this are interesting to me. Let me get a drink here. Downloading new skills into our brain like characters on the Matrix set to become a reality, say scientists. Wow, that's fucking mind-blowing. It's, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's the way my brain works, but I've felt that way already for a long time with the internet. I mean, it's... I boil it down to application, but I mean, fuck, man, YouTube is a treasure trove. You can go onto YouTube, and I guarantee you, you can learn how to do any goddamn thing that you could ever want to do on planet Earth, and you can find an instructional video with detailed instructions on how to do it on YouTube. I'm not kidding you. And I mean, it's almost that way already. But there's, I mean, it's unbelievable. There's been, you know, there'll be drum stuff. I'll hear, you know, somebody in a song. Oh man, I really love that. And I'll go look it up on YouTube. Well, there's a fucking video of some 13-year-old girl playing it like she's a fucking pro. I'm like, oh yeah, well, I can do that. Go and play it, and there it is, you know. But I guess they're saying that they're going to expedite this process and make it much more close to the speed in which, you know, they're just downloading shit straight into your brain like in the Matrix. Wow, okay. That would definitely save me a lot of time. Probably get a lot more sleep if I had that. That'd be fucking great, wouldn't it? I don't know. Maybe this, let me see. As long as you don't have to get a neural implant, I might be down for this. Let's read this and find out what this entails. Do they have to jack? You know, if you're going to have to jack that needle thing into the back of my skull like they did in the Matrix, I'm probably not going to be down with that, just to let you know. Learning a martial art, how to fly a plane, or how to speak a new language without even being awake is set to become a reality, say researchers. Scientists at Boston University and ATR Computational Neuroscience Laboratories in Kyoto, Japan, believe that in the future, learning a new skill might involve nothing more than sitting in front of a computer screen and waiting for it to upload. They've been studying how a functional magnetic resonance machine, an fMRI, okay, that's just, you know, that's nothing. That's just, well, I mean, you know, oh, well, I hate to say it's nothing. It is something. But it's not a neural implant. But what's interesting about that is that functional magnetic resonance machine, that's an MRI. So basically, they put electrodes to your head. They apply a resonant magnetic field to your brain, which has the information embedded in it, and they can make that information go into your brain by simply sending the magnetic resonance with the information encoded in it. Why haven't we done that already? I mean, fuck, that sounds easy as pie to me. It makes total sense. I mean, think about it. That's... Christ, they probably, again, like everything else, folks, they've probably been, the CIA's probably been doing this for 30 years. That's probably why it was in the Wachowski films in 1999. They probably had this technology for fuck all ever. And we're now hearing about it because, hey, it's old tech. No medication is needed, and the subject doesn't even have to be awake. He or she can simply has their brain activity changed to a target pattern, which could be anything from that of a star football player to a master chess player. Lead author Takeo Watanabe from the University of Boston, adult early visual areas are sufficiently plastic to cause visual perceptual learning. So, boom, there it is, man. They just, you know, it makes total sense to me as far as the delivery method. I mean, the science behind it. I mean, yeah, it makes total sense. And, you know, I find that more and more that's going to be, and we see this hinted on in science fiction films and stuff. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. I think Star Trek was one. But we see this hinted about in films like it's always, and I think that is indeed the truth for the future. It's that all the great mysteries and scientific discoveries that we seek, it's always, this has happened in the past, I guess, with other discoveries we've made, but it always seems to be a lot simpler than anybody ever thought it would be. You know what I mean? We get so what bogged down in things, we refuse to see the simple things and we miss out. And I think that's why a lot of people don't see how advanced, you know, some of these ancient civilizations, such as Egypt and Sumeria, and how advanced their technology really was. And we like to think that they were, you know, that was in the past. So we absolutely must be technologically more superior to them because they didn't have iPads and iPhones and computers and all this. Well, that's all a matter of perspective because, they definitely didn't have the scientific dumbing down enslavement grid. I mean, see, that's the whole thing is our playing field is completely unleveled because we've been chemically and psychologically dumbed down for so long that I mean, our ability and our, what's the term I'm looking for? God, what's the word that I'm looking for here? Oh, man. What is that word? It's driving me crazy. Not our ability, but like, you know, what we're capable of, what we're able to achieve. Those things are, none of us. We're kept in such a restricted way that we just don't know what we are fully capable of as humans. But it's hinted about in these ancient texts. It's hinted about in the ancient Sumerian texts. It's hinted about in all the ancient literature and secret societies. And it seems to be, to me at least, the foundation and the cause of religion. It's to keep us from ever knowing what we truly are, what we are truly capable of, that we do have the power of God's in each and every one of us. And everything is designed to keep us from ever achieving a glimmer of what we could be capable of. But I think that eventually people are going to get tired of this. I think that someday, some generation of these people, these people can't keep this going on forever, folks. The younger generation, and even the younger generation of the elite people. You know, you ever thought about that? I mean, who's gonna be in charge once these cocksuckers that are running the show now are dead? Their kids, their children? Well, what about once they're dead? Because, you know, I think eventually the vicious cycle is going to stop, and eventually there's going to be a generation of people who say, you know what, we're not going to do it this way anymore. But if we don't have hope that that happens, and if we don't do our part, and we just allow ourselves to get caught up in these phony movements and follow these phony leaders and phony figureheads, we're never going to make a difference. It's time for each and every one of you out there to gut up, put aside your hero worship, your cult of personality, attachment, and make the decision of whether or not the truth is important to you, or whether or not just letting the truth go to the wayside on, you know, just to go along to get along is important to you. And I tell you, if you make that decision, in my mind, you're enabling the system and that mindset and form to continue. If that's what you want to continue, go ahead, but that's fine. But you've chosen your side, and you're going to be viewed as being on that side from now on. And that's the way that I view the people who, you know, want to go on supporting these white supremacist truther and patriot types. I'm done with it. I've spoke my mind about that here tonight, and you know where I stand, and with my information and my films, you know exactly why I put this out. But it's going to take more people standing up, more people being brave, more people saying, you know what, look, I've covered for you, I've covered this person, I've followed this movement and these people, and I've seen this and I've seen that, and I'm just tired of it, and I'm going to speak out. That's what we need. Do you really want to be on your deathbed wishing you'd spoke out against the phony truth movement, the phony patriot movement and its leaders when you had a chance? Well, I'm not going to do that. I've certainly proved with these two films that I'm not going to do that. Are you going to do that? Please go to the website and get a copy of our film, folks. We need the support. We need some, you know, we need to get some funds going in here again, man. We got a lot of work to do. And it's not going to get done by the people who don't want the real truth to come out. Is anybody else out there going to make a film on the rock wall? No. So I got to do it. Is anybody else out there going to make a film on the Council for National Policy and all that stuff? No. So I had to do. There are more people now. Lee Rogers is. Thank goodness. But, you know, that's the thing. I've never been a follower or a joiner or, you know, joiner of groups or anything else. Never wanted to be. But, you know, when I got into all this stuff, I was actually for once okay with the role of being just, you know, an Indian and not a chief, so to speak. But, you know, as it's always been in my whole life, I don't know what it is, my whole life, I've always been thrown into leadership positions. It's wild. I don't know what it is. Natural born leader is what they say. I met this shaman one time and he told me that I was in another life, I was a great leader, and then I was going to be a great leader in this life as well. And at that time, I was a fucking, you know, 24-year-old drugged out, you know, tripping hippie, you know, going to raves and parties and doing acid and X and stuff. And this guy told me I was a great leader in a former life and going to be a great leader in this life. I was like, oh, really? What the hell are you talking about, man? You know? But I've always been cast those roles when I joined in the 9/11 group stuff. You know, it was like, boom. And all of a sudden I was like, you know, they put me, you know, as the leader and all this stuff. And I've never sought those roles, you know. I never sought to be, I always wanted to be a bass player, you know. And then in my first band, I wound up, you know, we couldn't get a singer and I wound up playing guitar and singing and being the front man. I never wanted to be a front man. But when the universe presents things to you like that, you can't ignore it. You just have to say, okay, you know, maybe that's not what I thought I was going to be doing, but hell, you know, the universe has put this in front of me and this is what I have to do. And that's pretty much the story for me and all this stuff that I do now. I wanted to be like everybody else and expose, you know, the Illuminati and talk about this stuff and stand up for the Constitution and America. I mean, I had no idea it was another part of the operation. I always had my suspicions, but man, nobody wants to believe it, but it comes down to this, you know, are you going to step up and decide which is more important to you, the truth, or just continuing to live a lie? And that's what it is. And I don't know about you, but that's not the choice I'm going to make. I hope it's not the choice you make either. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't even, the rest of this news is just bullshit. We'll get into some more of that tomorrow night. Got the stream bill coming up due on Thursday. Please support us if you can, folks. And I got the holidays coming up. I got to buy gifts for family and all this stuff. I got no money in the bank to do any of that stuff with. But the DVDs and the Blu-rays are on their way. They're being pressed. Minted, printed, made, all that stuff right now. I think we're supposed to be getting those in. They said the 21st, but they also said it may be sooner than that. As soon as those get here, I'll be taking a day off from the show to get everybody's packaged up and get those out the door for you. And if you get your orders in between now and Friday, between now and this coming Friday, I am going to get your DVDs mailed out to you before Christmas. So definitely go there and theglobalreality.com and get a copy of the DVD or Blu-ray if you can. And also use the chipping banner if you want to help us on the bills. The donate button's there if you want to use that for larger amounts. Amounts that can go towards, you know, giving us a war chest for things, you know, expenses for buying footage and expenses for things for the films, all that stuff. You know, the donate button, you can put up to, I think, 10 grand or something in there. I think it's the max amount you can put in there. We never had anybody donate near that large amount ever, but, you know, it is possible to do so. We also have a subscription thing there on the website as well. You can scroll down below the chipping banner, and there's a thing where you can subscribe to have a monthly donation. It comes out of your bank account every month, and you can do it that way as well. Yeah, folks. I'm not trying to lead anybody. I'm not a leader of anything. I'm not a leader of. I got accused by Doug Owen and some other clowns over at Oracle one time of trying to start the anti-movement, and that's not what I've ever tried to do. I've never said that. I've never wanted to do that. That's some stupid-ass childish ideology from somebody who's got a vested interest in, well, Doug Owen is married to a Catholic, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's, there you go. I don't really need to say anything more than that. That should tell you, tell you all you need to know about that. But, that's the whole thing is that I don't want to be a leader of any anti-movement. I just want the truth, and that's what you want. And, I'm going to continue to reflect my search for the information in this show and in the films, in the videos and documentaries and all the stuff that I make. And I'm going to continue trying to get information out and reach people with the demigods. And hopefully we'll be able to get some new stuff out for you there. We just played a big show Saturday night. The music industry sucks so bad now, man. I mean, and everybody wants to fuck you over. It's terrible. I mean, and this whole area, Dallas just sucks. It just does. But it's starting to suck all over. That's the real problem. It's just kind of that way everywhere. But you know what? Once you find what it is you're supposed to do, you keep doing it, whether or not the economy agrees with it, or whether or not society agrees with it, or your bank account agrees with it. You know, once you find what it is you're supposed to do, and I have indeed found what it is I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing it. But once you find that, and many of you out there found that as well, you know, you just keep doing it no matter what. And in the end, the good things happen. And good things have just continued to happen for me, and I'm excited. 2011 has been one of those bumpy years as far as me for emotionally, you know, losing my father, losing my uncle, span of a week. Lost my grandmother last year, that and trying to pull myself out of that and still going through it, man. You know, it's not something that just goes away. You may not show it every day to the people around you and everything else, but, you know, it still affects you. And I'm very proud of myself for how hard I worked on the Cigarette Volume 2, folks. I put more than I've ever put any of myself into anything, into that movie. And no one will ever know it. I mean, I put blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. I literally went days without sleeping. There were some days I went 2-3 days with no sleep. Working, editing, trying to get it done. So it was a big thing when I sent off the masters and I got it, you know, when I got the confirmation back and got the thing today and the DVDs and the Blu-rays are being pressed right now. It was a no small thing for me. That was a huge thing because it's an accomplishment. Just the information and everything, an accomplishment for me personally, getting it done. And I want to thank everybody out there who made this film possible. Everybody out there who makes it possible for me every day, every month, every year here. All the people out there that donate. Can't thank you guys enough. So grateful for the opportunity to do what I do. And I'm not going to stop. Simple as that. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. Chip and Banner donate button there. Please get a DVD, a Blu-ray. Support our work if you can. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you, and we will see you next time. You guys have a great night. Take care.